and ever felt like, I hope they don't take this, oh, by the way, in the wrong way. I actually really care about them, and I want to know how they're doing. Do you ever just feel like sometimes it's put in there just because? It's kind of almost like a pleasantry, so to speak. Have you ever done that to someone where you just put it in there just because you're like, I don't know how to start this conversation? So I'm going to put a how are you at the start of it just so, you know, I don't seem like I just need, like I'm actually trying to give for what I need. Have you ever done that? Neither me. Never, not once, ever in my life. Well, you know, there's something interesting about that. Because we kind of live in this world and in this kind of place where we don't give a lot away without expectation of something in return. Now, there's something interesting about that because we're going to be talking sermon series here. I'll get to that in a second. But we're going to be talking about joy this morning. Have you ever just given away your joy to someone else without any expectation of them giving something back? Now, most of us have, right? Most of us have just loved people, poured out for people, wanting to bless people, to just make them excited, just so you can see the smile on your face that you're trying to get something out of them. I knew it. No, you just want to love them and bless them and pour out for them with absolutely no intention of needing anything from them. You see, I actually think that's a pretty rare thing in our world. We often only give when we can receive. Because there's something in our mind that says, like, well, we got to be fair. And it's not necessarily the other person either. It's often ourselves, isn't it? It says when we give something, there's got to be some sort of fairity to it, right? How many of us, we shop on Facebook online and you're online and you're like, that's too much. That's not a fair value for that item. That's not a fair value for the worth. How many of you have found the sweetest deal ever and given them more money because you knew it was worth more? It was like, why would I do that? Why would I do that? So this morning we're going to be talking about, we're starting a new sermon series that I'm going to be going through this summer periodically called Put Me in Coach. Because I believe that if you've been here maybe for a few years here at Christian Life Fellowship, or if you've been here a few months at Christian Life Fellowship, or maybe you're just figuring out who this Jesus Christ guy is, the best way to figure out what's going on and how to be involved and figure out how this whole thing works, how Jesus works, how a relationship with him works, and how faith works, is to get involved with something, is to volunteer your time and jump in 2 feet. Now, that could be something as simple as a small group. We have a number of small groups out there that'll, some of them are closing down for the summer and will be reopening in the spring. Hopefully we'll have some more small groups. Maybe that's getting involved in a small group. Perhaps that's getting involved in a Sunday morning ministry that we have going on here. We have the worship, our ushers and our greeters. We have our Sunday school ministry. Maybe it's getting involved in one of those areas. I said Sunday school, half of you cringed. And maybe it's getting involved in one of those areas. Maybe jumping into one of those things. Because I'm going to just tell you something that we're going to be talking about all summer. If you want more of God, you have to just give freely, with no expectation of God actually giving you anything. And I know that sounds really weird, because you're like, how do I even do that? Because I know this is a quandary that I always have, or a question that I always have in my head, because people always say, well, the best blessings is just given and God will bless you. And I'm like, I'm not giving because I want to be blessed, but I know he's going to bless me. Does that mean I'm giving because he's going to bless me? Of course it is, because we know truth is truth. God wants to bless you, regardless of how you give. That's the truth. God does want to bless you. And so just giving of yourself is important for that blessing. It's also important on your walk of faith. Your journey of faith will only increase and become bigger and fuller with Jesus when you actually take steps in his kingdom. And we also have tons of weekly ministries that we run. We have tons of things that happen, just events that we run. Places where you can give of yourself joyfully. So this morning, we're actually going to be talking about joy, believe it or not. And not Joy Haribko, but we're going to be speaking about joy and how joy can affect your life. Now, a long time ago, I made a choice. I made a choice. I was probably 14, so, you know, however number of years ago that was. 16 years ago. So I made a choice. I said, I got really mad one day. I was in the basement in my parents', I guess, the word is slipping my mind, pantry downstairs. And they had shelving all on it and canned goods, et cetera, like any pantry naturally usually does, stuff you never touch but always make. And so there's a whole bunch of stuff in there, and it's sitting in there, and I was getting the flour, because that's where the flour goes, is in the pantry, and I smoked my head, like right in the center on the corner of one of the shelves. And oh, was I mad at that shelf. I mean, that shelf went out of its way to jump in front of my head. I was so mad at that shelf. I was so mad. I got so mad that we had a metal door that connected our garage. I just wound up and just wham, punched the door as hard as I could. And I won. That door felt it. My hand, however, hurt more than the door, of course. And here I am, hurting head, hurting hand, hurting pride. And my aunt walked in. She said, "What happened?" I said, "Well, that shelf made me mad." She said to me, and I've never forgot it, she said these words, "No one can ever make you mad. Nothing can ever make you mad. You choose to be mad, or you choose to be happy. Nothing can make you sad. Nothing can make you feel. You choose to accept it, or you choose not to. Simple as that. Make a choice." And from then on, I have been choosing, believe it or not, I took that to heart as a 14-year-old, surprise, and I decided that I was going to choose joy in my life. That when people ridiculed me, because I was a bit of an overweight kid, when people ridiculed me, I just laughed and chose joy. When people spoke ill of me, I would laugh and choose joy. When I would make fun of myself, because I had the joy of the Lord in me, because I could choose to just not let it affect me. And I know that seems really simple and really easy, but there's some days that it's really hard. There's some days I really don't want to choose joy. Like I wake up and I'm like, "Joy, don't come near me. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want you in my life today. I want to be mad." And after years of choosing joy, my language has changed. So it's really hard because I'll go places and I'm like, "I'm mad. I'm mad." And then people will be like, "How are you doing?" "Oh, I'm doing fantastic today. But I want to be mad today." Because my choice in life that I made a long time ago actually changed how I spoke. Changes how I speak. It's changed how I felt. I'll give you another example. Here, probably 5 years ago, I was out in my office. And one of our bus drivers came in, kind of sheepishly walks in the door, and they said to me, like, "Hey, I need to chat with you." And I said, "Oh, yeah, what's going on? How are you doing? Is everything okay?" And they said, I'm really sorry I have to tell you this. I said, "What happened?" "I hit your car with my bus." I went, "Ooh, the little bus? Nah, the big bus." I'm like, "Okay, let's go see what happened." So I walk outside, and sure enough, I mean, the front fender, the hood, were all marked up. And you know what my response was? I laughed out loud. And I said, "Next time, make it worth my while. Just keep going." Because it's just a thing. And I'm not going to let it steal my joy. Now, have you ever felt that? Have you ever felt this kind of like this kind of worrying inside of you? Now, I'm gonna attach this specifically now to what we're talking about this morning, which is, have you ever felt like sometimes serving the Lord has to be this reverent, somber, like serious thing? That when you serve the Lord, there's no, we're doing this for the Lord. There's, you know, you We're doing this for the Lord. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever felt like that's kind of the expectation? Maybe you've built that expectation in yourself that serving the Lord has to be this like really serious thing. It has to be this really super serious thing, like you can't have fun. Like you're serving the Lord. This should be a sacrifice. Like I should be sacrificing myself for this. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever maybe had someone say that to you or experienced that or seen someone serving in that manner? Didn't make you want to serve with them, did it? Now, of course, serving the Lord is serious. But I'd like to contend on this point this morning. The joy in the service of the Lord is more appropriate in almost all situations. Because Jesus Christ gave us joy, and we're going to get into that this morning. But Jesus Christ gave us joy. And we, as believers, and I'm going to say this a few times this morning, so I hope you get it. We, and if you're not a believer here this morning, Christians or believers who believe in the disciples, simple as that, when we say we're a believer, it's because we believe. Believers in Jesus Christ should be the most joyful, the most happy, and the most exuberant people in the world. Because Jesus Christ has given us a hope for the future of tomorrow. Amen? And I really feel like that should leak into everything you do. So we're going to talk about that this morning. So we'll get into our scripture this morning. John 15, 11 through 12. And this, for those who don't know, we're in our Canada Day parade again this year. And we're doing something real fun. We'll get to it. I'm going to tell you right at the very end, so you better stick around. If you leave halfway through, that's okay. John 15, 11 through 12. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other the same way I, this is Jesus Christ saying this, I have loved you. Now I'm going to give you a little context because we're starting kind of in the middle, and so it can be a little confusing. What things have they told them? A pretty simple question. So before this, in John 13, 14, and 15, Jesus is kind of elaborating on a larger picture. And so this is a very, very small snippet of a very large thing that Jesus is talking about. And this is just one area that Jesus is talking about that he elaborates over those John 13, 14, and 15. And earlier in 15, so 15 verse 1 and on to 11, Jesus is talking about how he is the true vine. Now, anybody garden here? Anybody have a green thumb? I know some people, they say they have a brown thumb. They just kill things. That's okay, too. There's this thing in gardening called grafting. Now, we've heard of maybe skin grafts, or we've heard of different things where people graft something onto your skin, or maybe you graft paper. No, this is a little different. Well, in gardening, what grafting is you take a stem or a root from another plant or the same plant, and you graft it into a root you graft it into a tree so that that stem can actually grow and become the tree. A good example has anybody ever been to the garden center and looked at an apple tree? Have you ever looked at the very base of the apple trees that are in the garden center? Well, there's a big knobby root at the bottom. That's because almost all apple trees that you would buy from a garden center have been grafted. And that little knobby at the bottom is actually the difference between the apple tree is different than the root. So the roots on the apple tree aren't actually an apple root. That little knob is the real tree below, and the apple tree now grows in its place. That's for most of them to grow in our climate. Interesting, right? And so Jesus says, I want you to graft onto me. I am the true vine because I am in Father God. So Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, says, I am inside of Father God. And I want you to be grafted to me. I want you to be attached to me and grow from me. Basically, what he says is, I want to snip you off at the root and leave all that other stuff behind. And I want to plug you into me so that you're getting my life. You're actually feeding off of me. You're not feeding on your own anymore. You're feeding off of me. You're feeding off the life I'm giving you. And Jesus is explaining to them, to the people around him, that you need to remain in him to continue to grow. Makes sense? If you take a grafted stick before it's grafted and pull it off, do you think it's going to live on its own? Well, no. It has no root. It needs to stay attached to the vine. And so Jesus says, remain in me. Remain in my love, and I will remain in you. So Jesus wants to remain in you as you remain in him. And so that's where we come to at this point. Because Jesus wants to give us identity, right? Jesus wants to give us and tell us who we are. And so he says, I've told you these things. All these things about trees and grafting and love. He talks a lot about love in the previous verses, which we'll get into again. So that you'll be filled with my joy. Makes a little more sense now, doesn't it? You see, as a believer in Jesus Christ, one of the things that we have uniquely is that we don't always have to rely on ourselves. In fact, we can rely on Jesus Christ. We can actually, what's called, lean into him. You remember when you were a kid and you wanted to, your parents were sitting down maybe on the grass somewhere, or a friend or a loved one, you're sitting with them on the grass somewhere, and you got tired as a kid? What did you do? You went and sat on their lap and you leaned into them, didn't you? You went and sat on them and you leaned into them so you could take the pressure off your body, because, you know, they're little and they want to move their arms. Do you guys remember that? Do you remember that? Have you seen that? Have you felt that before? Maybe you have kids. You felt your kids come and lean into you, all of their pressure. That's what Jesus is talking about. He's saying, lean into me. Take the pressure off. Lean into me. I got it. I'm strong enough. I can hold us both up. And when you lean into him, and when we attach ourselves to him, one of the things that we get as part of it is joy. That's just one thing. There are many. There are a ton of different things. But one of the things that we get as believers is joy. And I don't mean just like, you know, how are you doing today? Oh, I'm doing well. Yeah. I'm not really doing well, but I'm doing well. I'm not talking joy. I'm not talking false joy. I'm talking, I have been saved. I have been sanctified. Sanctified basically means to be made whole or clean. Like if you take something broken and you can sanctify by making it better than it actually was originally. Made whole, made clean. You can be remade in my name and in my image, is what Jesus says. And he says, I want to fill you with my joy. How exciting is that? That we don't have to look at the world around us and say, oh, everything's real bad out there. We can look at the world around us and go, man, God's got great places to move out there, doesn't he? We don't have to look at things and choices people make in the world and say, oh, how could they make such a terrible decision? We can go, oh man, if only they knew Jesus, how awesome would that be? I wonder how we can help them meet Jesus. Because joy doesn't bring shame upon one another, does it? Joy is a gift that Jesus has given us. And he says, yes, to us. This is Jesus saying, when you're filled with my joy, that you'll be filled with my joy. Yes, that your joy will overflow. Christians should be the most excited, the most happy, the most enthralled and excited for the world than everybody else. Because we have hope in Jesus. And because our joy is not ours alone, it comes from our Savior, Jesus Christ. We don't have to rely on our vision of the world. We get to ask Christ to give us new eyes to see the world. Now, I want to add a little something into this. I am a personality-wise, and I want to give some space for personality, because everybody's different. I want you to all be different. I mean that. God did not create you all the same. As a Christian, you're not all meant to do the same thing. You're not all designed the same way. You're not all gifted in the same way. You are so individual and unique, and that's what makes you the best you that there is, because you are you. Now, here's the thing. Often in a Christian world, we kind of compartmentalize what a Christian should be. Here's the thing. Jesus wants you to be you. He's designed you. You look at things like some people would maybe look at my excited, over-the-top nature, which I am often excited and over-the-top. And I always have a smile on my face because I have a very extroverted nature. People would say, well, that's not how Christians should be, because I'm an introvert. You see, we make kind of rules for one another based on our own personalities, don't we, in some way. We kind of look at around the people around us, well, they're not like me in that way. So? What did Jesus say? If everybody's a hand, we ain't going nowhere. If everybody's a foot, just stink. You know, like, here's the thing. We are all uniquely designed and created. We are all designed, though, to overflow with joy. Whatever that looks like in your personality, because I know for some introverts, for them to stand up on the stage and like scream at the top of their lungs, I mean, that would have to be, you know, the Holy Spirit coming and making them do it, because that's like so far outside of their comfort zone, they're never going to do that. And that's fine. That's not what I'm asking you to do. I'm not saying everybody needs to stand on a mountaintop and scream as loud as they possibly can. But if you want to join me, I'd love that. Because we're all individual and unique. But our joy is the same. Meaning we all stand upon the single foundation that simply says this: Jesus Christ died for your sins. And now we have a hope and for a future tomorrow in heaven. And, as we're going to get into later, we're entrusted with that for the world, that hope. And so, some practical ways that I've done in my own life, and this is just me, and I encourage you to maybe ask God, what does that look like? How does me becoming more joyful look? One of the things that I learned a long time ago was to change how I speak, so that how I speak, even though it might not represent my actual attitude in the moment, can lead me in the right direction. So one of the things that I've changed a long time ago, And I work really hard at this, and I don't always get it right, because, you know, human. Is when people ask me how I'm doing. I'm in a grocery line. How are you doing? I am absolutely fantastic today. I am fantastic today. Why am I fantastic? Nothing extraordinary happened, but I'm fantastic today. Because Jesus, I'm fantastic today. I woke up and found out that I'm not going to hell. I'm fantastic today. I'm fantastic today. Jesus saved me. He set me free. He made me whole. He wants the best for me today. That's joy. That's the joy that he's talking about. That's the joy Jesus wants to pour out in you and through you for our neighbors. Because the greatest thing for this is that it's actually called an overflow. So it's not a topping up. It's not a topping up so you can choose to pour it out where you want. It's an overflow, an intoxication of it that you really, you like, you just smell like joy everywhere you go. It's an overflow. It's something people can't not see about you. That joy. And it doesn't mean that you're exuberant. Just get back to that. It doesn't mean that you have to look like how I experience God's joy. That's not what it means. We all can be unique in how we experience God's joy, because you are unique. Just want to hammer that home. Because oftentimes, sermons like this, people think, well, I'm not that, and you go home and beat yourself up. Don't do it. Don't go beat yourself up for what you're not. Praise Christ for what you are. Amen? Don't beat yourself up for what you're not. Praise Him for what you are. Because you are who you are today. And He wants to use that to its fullest. And who you are today might not be who you are tomorrow. And that's okay. Because He'll use that just the same. And He says, this is my commandment. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. Now, Jesus doesn't make very many commandments in the scripture. I did a lot of research, and people say there's anywhere between 50 and like 2. And I did a lot of research and study, and I couldn't come to a good consensus. So I'm just going to say it this way. Jesus makes a lot of commandments in the New Testament. He makes some or a lot, one of the two. And this is definitely one of them. And He says, love each other in the same way that I have loved you. Now, we've often read this verse and thought about loving those like our neighbors and our friends. And by extension, it is saying that. But what actually it's saying is something very unique. He's actually saying, not necessarily to love your neighbor as you would love yourself. He's actually saying, love your fellow believer. He's actually saying, love your fellow believer. And we know that because in verse 13, he says it this way. And a new commandment I give you. So this would be the precursor to it, to this verse that we're reading. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciple if you love one another. So we know that he's talking disciple, loving disciple as brother and friend in Christ. And so now I say this because one of the things that we as Christians like to do is to, we like to beat each other up. I don't know what other way to say it. We like to beat each other up. I'm not sure why. I think it's similar in lots of different situations. Have you ever been in a toxic work environment? People just want to beat each other up, and you walk into it, and you're like, why? Like, why would you want to be like that? Why would you want to talk to somebody like that? I don't even understand. One of the ways that God is going to move in our community is when we let our overflow of joy not only not be contained to this room, but when we let our overflow of joy not be contained to our church body of believers in Campbell River, but when we not only let it not be contained to our homes, so that it pours out on our neighborhoods. You see, Jesus wants us as believers to stand united together. And that means talking better about people, right? Building each other up. Not because we're going to get anything out of it, but because the joy of the Lord wants to build each other up. It wants to lift each other up. It wants to pull each other up. Like, God bless every church in this city that they grow. Amen? Because we want to see God move in our city. And we want to see Him move in every church. Every small group. Every home group. That's a tangent. I'm going to stop. I can feel it bubbling up. Tangents. Because I just get so passionate about how we need to love one another beyond ourselves. So, joy. Going back to it. So, vicariously then, how we love one another and show respect to one another inside this body of believers is going to show people how much we love them. Because if you can't love the person that's sitting beside you in the chair, how do they think that you're going to love them? And that's where not holding each other's wrongs against each other is how God has designed us. To let things go. All right. Last one I want to share is this. I'm sorry, it's a bit small, so I'll read it out. So consider it pure joys, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that testing your faith produces perseverance. Pure joy when we are tested by the Lord. And I wanted to add this in because some of you may be thinking, well, what about all those other things that go on that I feel like God is really trying me on? Consider it joy. You believe in Jesus. It's joy. Lean into His joy. Lean into Him. And then James says it this way, then Colossians says it this way, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in everywhere, bearing fruit, of course, attached to the good vine, which is Jesus Christ. We bear fruit only attached to Jesus. Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may endure with great patience and give joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the holy people of the kingdom of light. See, the thing is that Jesus Christ, He says, love people as I have loved you. So He's saying this to you now. Love people as I have loved you, because I've qualified you to be loved. I've made you worthy to be loved. And everybody around you who doesn't yet believe is worthy of my love too. And Jesus is exciting. We should be the most joyful, excited, exuberant, life-filled people on the planet because we are full of life. Think about it this way. Jesus, God created the world, now lives in you. Who designed the sun, the moon, and the stars to work in perfect rotation, now lives in you. It's amazing. He loves you so much, and He wants to pour out in you. Now, as we've been going, part of the reason I'm talking about joy this morning is because all of these things, going and doing and sharing the overflow of joy you have in you, can be developed by serving. If you really want to learn how to get the joy of the Lord in your life, serve somewhere. because there is nothing more humbling than serving in children's ministry. I mean that. I don't mean that facetiously either. I mean that. There is nothing more humbling than serving in children's ministry. Because, and humbling not in the way you think. Humbling in the way when you start asking them about Bible verses and they start repeating them to you. There's nothing more that will give you more joy and excitement for the next generation when you hear little kids reciting Jesus' words to you. Amen? The first time my daughter prayed, it was the most beautiful thing I had ever seen in my life. Because she's speaking to God. And I pray that she speaks to God for her entire life. Come on. That's joy, isn't it? If you want to see real joy, join us on the worship team. Join the ushers. Give. Give of yourself. Because when you give of yourself, God pours into you. And joy will overflow in your life. And he wants to give you some joy. When I say joy, I mean I don't even know the measure in which he wants to give it to you. Because it is so great. It is so great. Imagine with me, church, if we as a believer, a body of believers, lived in exuberant joyful nature all the time. Whatever exuberant is for you. Imagine with me. Think about it. Who would that affect? All of us go shopping. All of us buy gas. All of us have neighbors. Who would that affect? All of us bump into people we know in the street. Some of us have kids in school. Who would that affect? If our joy was overflowing, it might affect a lot of people, wouldn't it? Jesus came to be a light. And he wants to entrust us with that, to be a light in our neighborhood. We are doing a Canada Day parade float. And this year, this actually is the main verse that we are using. This is our main verse for our float this year. Our goal is to give out joy. So, we're doing a neon dance party. Because we want joy. Now, when I say dance party, I mean we're going to have quite loud music. It's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun. Because we want joy. We want to give it away freely with no expectation of return. We want to give away the hope that we have and hopes they see it for no other reason that God willing, they see Jesus. We want to give joy away to our neighbors. And we want to have fun. Because Jesus is fun, you guys. Jesus is so much fun. He is, if Christians can't throw the craziest, most fun party, I don't know who can. What are they throwing the party for? We have the best why to throw a party that there has ever been or ever will be. Because our souls have eternity in heaven. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to pray. Lord, we just thank you for your joy. Jesus, we accept your joy in our lives. We want more of it. Just pour out on us your presence. Pour out on us love. Father, you've told us that we can see crazy stuff happen absolutely impossible because of the Spirit of God inside of us. So God, we ask that that happens in our lives. Jesus, you said that we can be the happiest, most excited people in the world. So we pray that happens in our lives. Jesus, you've told us that we can live a life without shame and guilt. So we just pray that happens in our lives. Jesus, you've told us that we can be amazing. You've told us that we are amazing, just the way we are. Jesus, you told us that we can walk a path and a journey with you towards heaven for the rest of our days. So wherever you are on the path, Jesus, it wants to bless you. Wherever you are on that journey, whether at the start or near the end, Jesus wants to bless you and increase in your lives. And so I'm going to speak a blessing over you. Jesus, we bless and release joy in Jesus' name. Father God, that your power and your presence and your Spirit would come in Jesus' name. That joy and happiness would exude and expound from everyone. That life would pour out from inside in Jesus' name. We speak an increase of that. Amen. Amen.